As we look upon the lives of those today who profess to be saved, we sometimes wonder why some who profess to be saved are strong Christians and why some who profess to be saved are weak Christians. And there is a reason for that. In Colossians chapters 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul laid the foundation for us to build our Christian lives on. And he makes it very clear that that foundation is Christ. And we very quickly learn that there is nothing wrong with our foundation if we are founded upon Christ. But I'm afraid sometimes Christians build very inadequately upon that foundation of Christ. You know, any builder will tell you that one of the most important things in building is the foundation. Because because no matter how well you might build on that foundation, if the foundation is inadequate, it's all going to come tumbling down. A solid foundation is important to the longevity of a building's life. And it is also crucial to our spiritual life. We all need Christ as our foundation. As the solid rock upon which to build our lives. The Bible is clear about that. But the Bible also tells us that one day, as believers, we are going to stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ to see if we built on that foundation of Christ using good materials. Now, if you've got that passage in 1 Corinthians 3 open, notice verse 11. It says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." If you're a true Christian, Jesus is your foundation. But notice what it says next in verses 12 through 15. It says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Now, the sad news is that some Christians have lived so selfishly and have been so self-centered and self-absorbed that on that day, all their works will be burned up. And although they will be in heaven because they're saved, they will have no rewards. But that doesn't have to be true of any Christian. We can have rewards on that day. And what I want us to do is look at Colossians chapter 3 to see how we are to build in order to have those rewards. And the first thing I want us to look at is our direction. Our direction. That is, now that you have accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, what direction in life are you taking? Well, the Bible tells us which direction we should take. Here in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You notice here that Paul starts this passage off with the conjunction if. And the word if is conditional. And he starts off with this passage with that conjunction for two reasons. First, Paul recognized that not everyone who claims to be saved is saved. And it doesn't matter how many times someone hears the word of God preached, they will never grow spiritually if they have never been born again through faith in Christ. It can't happen, and it won't happen. The Lord Jesus himself said in Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23, many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Not everyone who claims to be saved is saved. And so, naturally, if there's no spiritual birth, there will be no spiritual growth. That's one reason that he starts this passage with the conjunction if. But then secondly, Paul recognized that once we come to know Christ as our Savior, it will become obvious that we are saved by the way we build on our spiritual foundation. And how should we build? Well, that's what he's dealing with here. Look at verses 1 to 3 again. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, look at two words, two important words in those verses. First, the word seek. The word seek means to desire. We who are risen with Christ should have a burning desire for the things of God. You know, there are some today who profess to know the Lord, but they have no desire to come to church, no desire to pray, no desire to read their Bible, no desire to witness for Christ. They have to be begged to do anything spiritual. And just to be plain and simple, something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. When we desire something, we don't have to be pumped and primed. It comes natural. Suppose you love ice cream, and you walk by the table, and there is some delicious ice cream sitting there. Automatically, your taste buds get cranked up, and your mouth starts watering, and you start desiring it. Well, the same thing is true in our spiritual life. We who are really risen with Christ should have a natural desire for seeking the things of God. We should be spending our lives seeking the things of God. Now, the second word I want you to notice in this in these verses is the word set. You notice Paul says we're to set our affection on things above. The word set means to exercise the mind, to discipline our minds. We who are risen with Christ discipline our minds to think in the direction of Christ. Once we build our lives on Christ, we cut the strings of our affection for the things of the world, and we set our minds on Christ. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, Paul refers to that as walking in newness of life. walking in newness of life. Because our lives are built on Christ, we should seek and set our affection on Him. He is to be the center of our life. He's to have first place in our life. We are to live in a way that will please Him and honor Him and glorify Him. The direction of our lives should be obvious to everyone. They should see that our lives are aimed at living for Christ and His honor and glory, and not living for the world and its things and thrills. We need to seek and set our affection on Him. Why? Because of the second thing I want to talk to you about this morning. Not just our direction, but our death. And I'm not talking about our physical death here, but in a sense, a spiritual death. Look at verses 5 through 9. It says, "Mortify, therefore, your members." Now, let me just say the word mortify means put to death. Put to death. "Therefore, your members," and that's talking the members of your body, your flesh. "Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." And let's go on and read the next two verses too. "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all." Now you'll notice Paul said we are to mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. The word mortify, as I said, means to deaden, or it means to subdue. Subdue. We who through faith have died and raised with Christ have become dead to this old flesh. And Paul tells us what we are to die to. He says, first of all, we're to die to fornication. Fornication. You'll notice the first thing on the list has to deal with sexual sin. The word fornication is the Greek word porneia. It's the word from which we get pornography. And it's a word that is used to describe any sexual relation outside the bondage of a one man, one woman marriage relationship. And it includes, because of the word itself, it includes the watching of pornography. Every day, the devil would like us to allow our minds to dwell on sexual things, and if we do not subdue those thoughts, they will take over our lives and can ruin our lives. So we are to die to fornication. Then secondly, he says we're to die to uncleanness. Uncleanness. This old sinful flesh that we dwell in is anti-God in every way. And in the book of Galatians, there's a description of the works of this old flesh. In Galatians 5, 19 and 20, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." We're to die to these things. We're to die to uncleanness. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 7, it says, "God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." And so we're to die to uncleanness. And then number three, it says we're to die to inordinate affection. This refers to a craving, a strong desire, a driving lust. It is a general term referring to a craving for the wrong kind of things. And that's not just talking about sexual things as the word fornication, but just sinful things in general. Inordinate affection. In Romans chapter 1, verse 27, it's referred to as vile affection. We are to die to it. We're to die to it. And then also it says we're to die to evil concupiscence. Evil concupiscence is also a yearning for all kinds of evil, but in this case it has more to do with our thoughts. There are some people who are always thinking about evil things. If you try to talk to them about good things or spiritual things or wholesome things, they will laugh at you. And certainly, this is not how a Christian is to think. And this is important. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, that we are to be casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We're to take control of our thoughts and bring them into obedience to Christ. That is, we are to be thinking Christ-like thoughts. The kind of thoughts that are described for us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, where the Apostle Paul says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Those are the kind of thoughts that we ought to be having. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good, virtuous, praiseworthy. Those are the kind of thoughts that we're to be having. And why is this important? It's important because of a little principle that King Solomon told us about in Proverbs 23:7, where it says, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." That is, you are what you think. If you think right, your life will go the right way. You think wrong, your life will go the wrong way. If you think good, clean, honest thoughts, you will live a good, clean, honest life. But if you think evil, sinful, ungodly thoughts, you will live a sinful, evil, ungodly life. And so we need to take control of our thoughts. And I know that's not easy sometimes because these minds of ours are constantly bombarded out in this world with things that would cause us to think bad thoughts. But you know the old saying, the birds may fly over your head, but you don't have to let them make a nest in your hair. Right? That's the principle here. Yes, every now and then we will find ourselves having a bad thought, but we don't need to let them dwell there. We need to ask God to help us get rid of those things, and then we need to redirect and refocus our thoughts on good things. We want to die to evil concupiscence. And then he also says here we want to die to covetousness. That has to do with never being content, never being satisfied, always wanting more and more and more of this world's stuff, and being willing to do anything, no matter how evil or underhanded, in order to get that stuff. We are to die to covetousness. We're to die to these things, and we're to die to the resulting sinful behavior, which is found there in verse 8, where he talks about anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, and lying. These are the things we humans have to deal with each day of our lives. We must control these things in our lives, or they will control us. Paul told those Christians that they needed to mortify, to put to death, to subdue the evil desires of the flesh. Now, I want to close this sermon the way I started this sermon, and that is with the foundation. I told you that every builder knows that one of the most important things in building is the foundation. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who shed his blood and died on the cross for our sins and who rose again the third day so we could have everlasting life, in him, that is through faith in him, we have a wonderful foundation to build on. But the way we choose to build determines our rewards in heaven. And this is important because the Bible tells us that these rewards are referred to as crowns. And one day, according to Revelation 4:10, we're going to take those crowns, and in order to honor and glorify Christ, we're going to take those crowns and we are going to cast them at his feet. We're going to cast them at his feet because we would never have gained a single one of those crowns if it had not been for him in the first place. So we will cast them at his feet. And how embarrassing will it be for a Christian to have no crowns to cast on that day? And that's why John, the same person who told us about this casting of crowns in the book of Revelation, told us in 1 John chapter 2, and I believe it's verse 8, might be verse 18, but I think it's verse 8. He said this, "And now, little children," so it's talking to believers, because in 1 John, the believers are referred to as children. "And now, little children, abide in him," that is, be faithful to him. Put off the bad stuff, put on the good stuff, love him and serve him like he so rightfully deserves. "My little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Our salvation is by grace. That's clear in the Bible. Jesus paid the full price for it. But our rewards are determined by how we build our lives on Christ after we've made him our foundation. And the reason that some do not grow in the Lord is twofold. Some don't grow because they've never been born into the kingdom of God by faith in Christ. Christ is not their foundation. Now, they need him as their foundation. But we're talking about those who at this point do not have him as foundation. There's no way for them to grow in Christ if they do not know Christ. But the other reason some do not grow is because, yes, they may have Christ as their foundation, but they do not seek the things of God, and they have not set their affections on the things of God. And until they do, there will be no growth. And there certainly will be no rewards. And they may be in heaven, but with no crowns to cast at Jesus' feet. And so I challenge you, I close this message morning by challenging you again, with the words of the Apostle Paul, in Colossians chapter 3, the first two verses, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning and the challenge to our hearts. And I pray that you'd help us to take these two principles of seeking and setting and apply them to our Christian lives so that it will be clear to everyone that we have you as our foundation. Help us to build properly in our lives